This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Layla Mudin. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for downloading these podcasts on Intelligent Medicine. Do you subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine newsletter? If not, you can go to drhoffman.com and sign up. You give us your email, we send you the newsletter. It's free. Comes out every week around Thursday. You can unsubscribe at any time. No worries. We don't spam you. We don't send you other things. We simply use it for the newsletter. If you want to reach me, if you'd like to contact me with any questions, topics of interest, you can email me to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. I've got some great news. Well, it's fun. It's fun. Get this. Are you a runner? Are you a jogger? I used to be an avid jogger, and then I got over it, and then I started doing other things like yoga and strength training and stuff like that. I'm also an avid proponent of the step exercise routine. Remember that from the 80s? I think it was maybe the 90s. But so skipping, remember skip to my loo? Skipping may be easier on the knees than running, and burn more calories. I can imagine now when this news gets out, and it's out, and that's why I'm here telling you about it, that we may see more people skipping on the road or on these nice quiet country roads where I am right now instead of jogging, because it's easier on the knees than running and it may burn more calories. So skipping, an exercise that, you know, we've all tried, we've all done, you know, on the playground, in the schoolyard, when we were kids, who hasn't skipped, right? May actually be a great grown-up workout because it puts less stress on the knees than running while burning more calories, a recent study suggests. Despite the many health benefits of running, and we know there are many benefits, the number of running-related injuries is on the rise, and as many as 79% of runners report injuries in any given year. And researchers actually noted this on the March 28th online publication called Gait and Posture. March 28, online publication called Gait and Posture. Injuries to the knees and lower extremities are common because running mechanics produce large amounts of force on the body with every stride. If you're a runner, you've felt this. You've likely been injured, right? So, because running mechanics produce large amounts of force on the body with every stride, and because runners often develop repetitive stress injuries by not giving enough downtime. When you're injured, you need to rest, not go out and run again. Hey, listen, I remember I was a very avid runner, and running could be very addictive. It's wonderful, all those wonderful endorphins, that nice, pleasing quietude at the end of a run. It just feels so good. And so, of course, you look forward to it, right? I did too. But if you're injured by not allowing sufficient recovery time, you get repetitive stress injuries. And that's one of the problems with running and jogging. So for the current study, researchers compared the contact force on the knee for 20 healthy young adults when they ran and skipped at the same speed. Compared to skipping, running produced almost twice the average peak force on the patella or kneecap in the front of the knee joint, the study found. Running also produced almost 30% greater average peak force on the tibiofemoral joint, or the knee hinge formed between the three bones, the femur, the tibia, the patella. The femur meaning your thigh bone, the tibia, that's your shin, the patella, the kneecap. Skipping, however, this is so interesting, are you sitting down? Skipping used 30% more calories than running. Okay, that right there may cause many converts out there from running to skipping. It burns 30% more calories. Yeah. So, quote, certainly running is an integral component of many athletic activities, and we are not unaware of the aversion some people may have toward performing skipping as a standard component to their physical regime. But skipping has nonetheless emerged from this study as an alternative form of locomotion with untapped potential, says the lead study author, Jessica McDonnell. So, while many of us may be embarrassed to skip down the road, down the block, around the block, that kind of a thing, this is some untapped potential here, and it burns 30% more calories. That may be enough for many of us to get over that embarrassment of skipping to my loo. Simply put, the gait mechanics of the two types of exercise are different and may have different outcomes for the body. When people run, I'm quoting Jessica McDonnell, when people run, they are executing a cyclical gait composed of alternating periods of absorption, which is also called stance, and propulsion, which is also called flight. Throughout the gait, there is either one foot on the ground, single limb support phase, or none, which is the flight phase. By contrast, she says, when people skip, step and hop on one leg, followed by a step and a hop on the opposite leg, a support phase is added that's not seen in running. The skipping gait patterns has a single limb support phase, double support phase, and a flight phase. And due to the composition and execution of the gait, G-A-I-T, the gait, you understand what I'm saying, skipping has reduced vertical ground reaction force, decreased step length, increased cadence, contributing to the attenuation of knee compressive forces. In English, it's easier on the knees. Beyond the different gait pattern, the greater height people typically achieve with their legs when skipping, try skipping. You achieve a greater height. Check it out yourself. Skip across your living room right now. Check it out. It's true. The greater height that people typically achieve with their legs when skipping may account for additional calories burned with this activity as compared to running. This is so interesting. The study participants ranged in age from 18 to 30 years old, and half of them were female. They were healthy weight on average, and they all participated in a training program to practice skipping for distances up to 1 mile on a laboratory treadmill before their gait assessments. Whoever needed training in skipping, kind of came naturally to us as kids, right? But these folks were trained. These subjects in the study, they were trained. Then the researchers assessed the participants' gait mechanics and calories expended while they ran and skipped on a treadmill at identical speeds. Now, the researchers are quick to point out that it's possible that the results for people who got trained in skipping on a treadmill might not reflect what would happen in the real world if people tried both activities on their own, right? Can you just visualize skipping on a treadmill right there? Interesting. Hey, for those of you who have treadmills, which is probably the best thing on your knees if you're running or jogging on a treadmill, try skipping on the treadmill. Now you'll burn more calories. So with both running and skipping, people generally use a longer distance between steps and quicker pace than when walking, which may lead to more force through the knee from the ground. And as with any physical activity, and anyone would agree with this, people who run and skip should listen to their body, talk with their doctor before starting a new vigorous activity or training program, or if they have any questions about exercise, you know, that's the right thing to do. Gradually increasing duration and distance, taking rest days, cross training, using proper equipment, especially shoes, are recommended. So you may want to think twice now, and instead of going for that jog, you may want to skip to my loo, because it's less stress on your knees and you get to burn 30% fewer, 30% more calories than with jogging. Go figure. And try not to be embarrassed doing it. It's fun. Okay, moving on. This is interesting. And this was a randomized clinical trial. Let's see here. In Journal of Clinical Periodontal Disease here, and this was from the Journal of Clinical Periodontology, pardon me, the Journal of Clinical Periodontology. And let's see here, this is called, and this is from November of 2018, the influence of an anti-inflammatory diet on gingivitis. Now, you've heard me talk about gum health, and it's important to keep your gums healthy because that bacteria in your gums translates to the rest of your body. That bacteria travels, can impact all of your organ systems and your heart. So, the aim of this study was to investigate the influence of an anti-inflammatory diet on different parameters in patients with gingivitis. Gingivitis is gum disease. It's not full-blown periodontal disease or advanced periodontal disease. It's gingivitis. And if you have gingivitis, you want to take care of it. You don't want this problem to get worse. So, what do they do? And this is a randomized controlled trial. 30 patients were randomly allocated to an experimental and a control group stratified by their plaque values, the amount of plaque they had on their teeth in their gums. The experimental group had to change to a diet low in processed carbohydrates and animal proteins, and rich in omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin C, vitamin D, antioxidants, plant nitrates, and fibers for 4 weeks. Plant nitrates, there are nitrates in things like celery, green leafy vegetables, broccoli. We get nitrates there. They promotes the production of nitric oxide in the body, which helps with circulation. It causes vasodilation, dilation of our arteries, which helps to lower blood pressure, increase circulation, and all of that. So a diet low in processed carbohydrates and animal proteins, and rich in omega-3 fatty acids, vitamin C, vitamin D, antioxidants, plant nitrates, and fiber for 4 weeks. And the control group did not change their diet. And that's what the control group is for in a randomized trial. And that's why randomized control trials are the scientific method. You need a group that does nothing. So you have something to compare your treatment group to see what actually happens. Both groups suspended intradental cleaning. They didn't have any dental cleanings during this time. Periodontal parameters were assessed by a blinded dentist, meaning the dentist was blinded. No, they weren't blind. They couldn't look at you or work on you. The dentist did not know who the participants in the study were and who the control group participants were. The dentist was not informed. So there would be no bias on the part of the dentist. So this is why a randomized controlled trial that's blinded is very, very effective, this kind of a setting. Serological and subgingival plaque samples were taken at the baseline and at the end. So they measured the amount of plaque in the beginning of the study before they started this trial and at the end. So the results. While there were no differences regarding the plaque values, the experimental group showed a significant reduction in gingival bleeding, a significant increase in vitamin D values, and a significant weight loss. Hey, we weren't trying to lose weight, right? But just by lowering your processed carbohydrates, hello, that just helped with weight loss. A nice little side effect. There were no intergroup differences regarding inflammatory serological parameters, the serological omega fatty acids, nor the subgingival microbiome composition. So they found a decrease in gingival bleeding, because what's the first sign that you have gingivitis? Bleeding, you know, when you brush your teeth, bleeding when you're getting your teeth cleaned and all of that. They found a significant increase in vitamin D because vitamin D was included in this experimental group. And there was some weight loss, but there were no differences between the two groups, the experiment group and the control group, regarding the inflammatory parameters, serological parameters, the serological omega fatty acids, nor the subgingival microbiome composition. It didn't change much the microbiome in the mouth. And what they concluded is that the evaluated diet could significantly reduce gingivitis in a clinically relevant range, while serological inflammatory parameters and the subgingival microbiome seemed to be unaffected in this study duration. Remember, this was a short study duration. It was about 4 weeks. Imagine if this went on longer. So what happened here? Less gingival bleeding. I'll tell you right away. Low in processed carbohydrates, omega-3 fatty acids didn't seem to make much of a difference, but they took vitamin C. They took vitamin D. They took antioxidants. Vitamin C is a very important antioxidant for gum health, for dental health. So is vitamin D. So is CoQ10. We know that with even CoQ10, I can almost singly point out CoQ10 as responsible for significantly decreasing gingival bleeding, gum bleeding. Now, I don't know that CoQ10 was part of the antioxidants that were given to this experimental group, these 30 patients. I don't know. But I do know that vitamin C and vitamin D alone can reduce gingival bleeding. So your antioxidants, a good healthy diet, low in processed carbohydrates, increase in plant nitrates and fiber, in antioxidants, all of that, a very clean diet, is important not just for your overall health, but for your gum health, right? Of course, there won't be any difference in plaque. That plaque needs to be removed by your dentist, and that helps getting regular cleanings at least twice a year, right? Or at least once a year is helpful in retaining good gum health and reducing the incidence of gingivitis. And listen, if you are prone to periodontal disease, you need to follow up with your periodontist probably 4 times a year. Please follow their instructions. Floss and brush. Do all the right things. Take good care of your gums. That bacteria there doesn't just stay there. It travels throughout your body. It can affect your organ systems and your health in general. Okay? So take good care of your teeth. A proper diet, a good round of antioxidants, all of that as part of your regular diet can help with gingivitis. And beyond that, don't forget to skip to my loo. Instead of taking a jog, maybe save your knees, increase the calorie burn. I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine.
This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by ProPax with NT Factor, a complete vitamin and mineral formula. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor repairs damaged cells, restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years, and now the 45-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158, that's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com, that's ntfactor.com.
This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly, along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.